Welcome to the Liberty of the Captives podcast, coming to you from North Attleboro, Massachusetts. And now, here's your host for today's presentation, Lisa Ruby.
And we're back with retired Green Beret Colonel Daniel Marvin. Please go ahead, Colonel.
Well, thank you very much, Lisa. One of the things that I'd like all of your listeners to know is that Chris and Milligan and I both need help. When we got attorneys who actually found us and wanted to represent us, even at half fee, we still came out with a bill for $152,000. We've got it down to about $90,000, but only because they're willing to take it at like $1,500 a month. Well, in order to pay that, I run an antique repair shop here, and I keep busy here, and all the profits then go into paying for our attorney fees that we have. So anybody who would like to buy a book, and it's a valuable book. In fact, I found one in an antique shop south of here the other day, and it was in their rare book sections because we ran the first edition sold out right after the trial. As soon as that trial was over with, then everybody wanted a copy of it, so we came out with the Victory Edition. The Victory Edition, which you can order at 1-800-556-2012. The Victory Edition has information about the lawsuit and also about the trial itself. And it's got a preface in it that you'll love. It's a preface by Douglas Valentine. Now, a lot of people don't know who he is, but he is the world's expert on CIA assassination programs. We had him standing by to be our expert there in the trial if they actually brought Walter McKim to the courthouse, because he's the one that I talk about in my book who brought the mission to assassinate Prince Sihanouk to my camp. Well, they ended up, they got smart and they didn't bring him, because we would have destroyed McKim in the courtroom, because we could point right out that he had signed a secrecy oath. He could not tell the truth, because if he told the truth, then he could end up in Leavenworth prison, that he'd have to fake it all. And we had somebody there who had not only knew Walter McKim, Douglas Valentine, but had interviewed him a couple times and knew what his job was there in South Vietnam. One of the most interesting things about this trial for an outside observer is that the Special Forces Association and their three attorneys were really confident that we wouldn't even show up for the trial. I brought down four boxes of evidence to provide the jury and the judge at that trial. They had none. All they had was all of the plaintiffs who were my men in that camp in Vietnam, who were written up as the heroes that they were in my book, Expendable Elite. But they had nothing other than that to go on because, like I said, they didn't think we'd show up. And when one of them said something about that, I just walked up to them and I said, well, you know, the thing that you forgot, that I was one of you, and I was the biggest, baddest one of you, and I'm not afraid of anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really the key behind both Chris and myself being able to go against the most powerful organization in the world. And there's no doubt in my mind that the CIA, from a worldly basis, is the most powerful organization in the world. They can do just about anything they want. They don't have their funds even inspected or reviewed at all. It's just they're on their own, more or less. And that's, I think I mentioned it earlier, they are the reason, and what they do is the reason that Kennedy was killed, Kennedy's brother was killed, William Bruce Pitzer was killed, and Dr. Martin Luther King was also killed as a part of the need to control everything that went on in the government. And that need was not necessarily that of the President of the United States. It was a need of that group of people within the organizations, the CIA, Department of Defense, Special Operations Command, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, those people that were actually controlling what went on in this country and outside this country, who was heading up the drug running operations. You know, when I went to, I don't believe I've covered this at all, but when I went to find a publisher and I went to all these different people, and then Chris Milligan called me up I did go over that part of it, and I finally found out that that he was all right because he had published the book Barry and the Boys. Barry and the Boys is about the drug running operations that the CIA was in charge of. Barry Seal was their man who headed them up, and when they finally decided he was expendable, they killed him. That's what that book is about, and that's a book that Chris had sent to me to prove that, that his contact with me was legitimate, and I knew it was because when I scanned through the book, I knew some of the people in there. And then I called him back, and I said, how did you get my name? I never sent you a manuscript. You call me and tell me you'd like to publish my book, but I never even sent you a manuscript. And he said, well, Jim Mars called me. Jim Mars is famous within the research community as a professor who's teaching investigative journalism, who wrote an excellent book on the Kennedy assassination. He said, Jim Mars called me, and he told me, you call Colonel Marvin, publish his book. And Lisa, that's how simple it was. Those two got together, decided that the book was the truth, and then I sent him the manuscript, Chris Milligan, and we put that book together without a computer, which is another interesting thing. I submitted that manuscript to him that had been done on a word processor, not a computer. And after the book was in the publishing mill, ready to go out to the people, he called me, he being Chris, and said, Dan, you've got to get a computer because they are attacking you viciously on the internet. Headed up by a man named Robin Palmer and Dr. Eaglesham. And they were just telling all kinds of lies about old Dangerous Dan. So he loaned me the money, even though he didn't have it. He had to borrow it. Loaned me the money to buy this Dell computer and the peripheral equipment I needed. And I counterattacked on the internet. In fact, if you go to Google and just put in all cap LTC, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, you'll see a lot of what I've been through over the past 5 or 10 years that relate to this book. It's just one of those things that the people who are in the evil part of our government, didn't want out because this book, and I know you're aware of this, Lisa, this book tells exactly how we are used sometimes against the law for some of the things that this country gets involved in, like killing the leaders of other countries, like assassinating people that get in their way and using it as justification that they can't legally get to them, and yet they're dangerous for this nation to survive, so they use mafia and Green Berets to kill those. I don't worry about it. You know, an FBI man was in my office in Ithaca, New York, before we moved here to Cazenovia, and he asked me, aren't you worried about them? And we were talking about the CIA, about them putting a bomb under your car? And I said, no, I'm not worried at all. I said, you just don't understand the situation. Now, this was the local FBI inspector from Ithaca, New York office. I said, first of all, CIA doesn't put bombs under anybody's cars. They hire people. They use people. Either in the United States, it'd be mafia personnel. Overseas, it'd probably be Green Berets or somebody like that, or maybe the French underground or whatever. And here in the United States, they use mafia, and I've already infiltrated the mafia. They know me, and they know better than to come put a bomb under my car because they'd wonder what I'd done to that car to keep them from putting a bomb under it. Simple as that. I don't know how much time I have left here, but I'd like to encourage the people, if they've got any thought in mind about our men and women of the armed forces wanting to know that our government is not going to aid the enemy, as I talk about quite a bit in my book. General Westmoreland knew that we were aiding the enemy. He had been ordered, and he tells this in his book, Soldier Report, he had been ordered not to tell Congress. He'd been ordered not to tell the press. They didn't want the American people to know that President Johnson had given the enemy safe haven in Cambodia. Not only that, but they'd given them the use of the Mekong River to take foreign ships, like the Lithuanian cargo ship I saw, of the Mekong River taken weapons and ammunition to the enemy in their safe havens in Cambodia, and then use those same weapons to kill our people. This is probably happening in Iraq, and we don't know it. That's why I'm asking Congress to call me before Congress, call me and Dennis David and another Green Beret who's volunteered to come forward, a man named Gerald Wilsey, and come before Congress and swear to the truth of what we personally knew by being personally involved with Special Forces and the CIA and illegal operations. God bless each and every one of you. I pray that you write your congressman and your senator and senators, and you tell them that they need to look at expendableelite.com, my website. They need to go before Congress and demand that I be invited to talk before Congress about the truth of some of the dangers that we purposely put our men in and women in that are in the armed forces.
Thank you very much for coming and sharing with us, and I hope you'll come on again soon, Colonel Marvin.
I certainly will. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Liberty to the Captives podcast, a ministry of libertytothecaptives.net.